Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Continue to power on through a Wednesday. Happy hump day to all of you from 96.5 The Fan. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens with you. This is Mac's last day for a week.
Yeah, he's going to Seville, Spain, he just told me. Sister city to Kansas City. He didn't know. I said, this is why you keep me around.
Exactly
right. Look at some pictures of Seville. He goes, oh my God, it's the plaza.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the plaza was designed after, so... You get to see the original one. That's cool,
it's
man.
It's awesome, man.
Seville's always kind of been on my list because of being a sister city to Kansas City. I'm like, I got to go see this.
No, it'll be cool. I think we might go see a soccer game because their soccer, Sevilla FC is
that'd
in,
be cool.
Is in Seville. So
do
we
it.
Go,
yeah, absolutely that, do it.
Be sick.
Do not think twice about it. I was telling you, my friend grew up, his parents grew up in Spain. He's first generation American. And he said to me as we were talking in there, he says, I'd tell him to go all the way south and go to Gibraltar. I said, yeah, and you may do that as well, which is cool.
I think
and,
it's a 4-hour train or shuttle or whatever they call it. So, yeah.
And I think also what's cool, and I told you this, and I think this is the way everybody should approach vacation. But that's just me. Act like you're never going to be that place ever again.
Yeah,
and
I love
do
that.
Everything.
Yeah.
Just do it all. All the tourist stuff. Where they go, don't do the tour. Why? That's why we're here to see this stuff.
I am.
Don't do the Rock of Gibraltar. Look at the pebble in the beach.
Yeah, tapas, wine.
Yeah, it says Spain's most famous food is a paella.
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 Yeah, saffron-infused rice dish that originated in Valencia. Other highly famous and popular foods include jamón. Which is just
jamón. Yeah, you got to get that sliced.
Liberian ham, tortilla espanola, a Spanish omelet.
Yeah, which is great. Egg and potato, basically. Yeah, those are fun.
And then I'm gonna butcher the F out of this. Patatas, which is potatoes. P-A-T-A-T-A-S. Patatas.
Patitas.
Patitas.
Patitas. Okay.
I like patitas.
I know you do. That's why I make sure you're pronouncing that name
especially
the right
way. Especially in a white t-shirt in a summer day. Let them be free, ladies. They're fried potatoes with a spicy sauce.
So you that sounds amazing.
Rice, potatoes, eggs,
paella
teas.
Is heaven on earth, dude. Have you ever used saffron in cooking?
Just not. No.
No, because of how expensive it is. Go to the store and look at the price of saffron.
Churros, also famous in Spain.
Churros?
Yeah, it says.
Damn.
Flan.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about flan.
Yeah.
Yes. Flamenco is a special type of dance that's
over
there.
Yeah, the flamenco dance. Yes.
Aren't those like pink birds?
I think there is pink in the dance. But yeah, so we'll go to a flamenco show.
Mac ain't coming back, Dusty. If you'd like to be the new producer of Fesco and Dusty, 913-586-7965. He ain't coming back. Yeah. I know how it's going to be when you get back. You'll be like, I'm moving there.
Oh, I can't wait. No, it's going to be incredible. It's going to be eye-opening, man.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Embrace it all. Sleep on that plane over. Do not raw dog this thing. No, just sleep. Yeah.
I talked to Fizzy about that, my little sister, because I was like, this is what Bob said. This is what we're going to do. I've got melatonin for us. She was like, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I got the neck pillow thing, which I was shocked to find out those aren't $60. But as you said off the air, Bob, airport.
Oh, at the airport, they're $60.
Yeah.
Bucks.
Like,
Amazon,
oh,
they're $3.95.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, these are a normal price.
Yeah. Yeah,
or do what Russell Wilson did and get up halfway through the flight and everybody's sleeping and do some high knees.
Now, you are wearing the compression socks on the flight, right?
Like,
what?
What?
You are wearing the old man compression socks, right?
No.
No.
Keep your veins.
No.
None of that.
So to your point about Breece Hall and a third round pick, I want to bring this up because this was yesterday's, I'm just playing Twitter text line fan. You gave a third-round pick for Kadarius Toney. Why wouldn't you give him a third-round pick for Breece Hall?
because they didn't want to give up a prime draft pick. Their mark of line of demarcation was, we'll give up a fourth round or lower. We're not giving up a top three pick because we don't have many picks. We're signing our own guys. There's not going to be much room for us to add in free agency. We need our picks.
So then I would continue to go to the devil's advocate side. What's been the most significant third round pick in Brett Veach's tenure here? Kareem Hunt?
Probably, yeah.
So what are you going to get in the third round that you aren't going to get out of Breece Hall as a 24-year-old running back?
A young, controllable running back for 4 years.
Okay. That's what yesterday was. I'm just letting you know that's what the text line is. That's what yesterday was on Twitter. You know, the third round pick resume came out, and then Kadarius Toney's name was there because that's what they gave up for Kadarius Toney. And I think if you look at where they're coming from, at the time when you got Kadarius Toney, you had nobody else that could catch the ball. You had a team that was ready to get rid of him in New York. Mm-hmm. You had Breece Hall yesterday who was actively telling everyone that he wanted out. He was, you know, throwing the Anthony Edwards, I think is his name, Anthony McFarlane, whatever his name is, doing the behind the wall, seeing Sauce go and see Quinn Williams go, and then telling the team that, hey, I want to get out of here. And then the Chiefs say, hey, how about a third round? How about a fourth round pick? They said, no, we want a third. And it's like, well, you have 8 picks in the first 2 rounds in the next 2 years. Why is a third? Well, we just want a third. Okay, well, then we're not doing business with you. But mm-hmm. They have done that in the past where they have gotten a guy that they needed to fix their offense for a third round pick. Because,
yeah. They also believe that they're a good football team and they don't really need additions right now. Again, I'm just giving you the message, right? You don't have to agree. Excuse me. With the message. Yeah, hello is right. My God.
Whoa.
You don't have to agree with the messaging. I'm giving you the messaging so you know their line of thinking. Their line of thinking is, we're paying number 22. We're paying number 4 this offseason. We're not going to have that much money to spend in free agency. We need our draft picks. We're not willing to give up a first day, you know, old school first day draft pick 1, 2, and 3 for a running back. We'll give up a fourth round pick, but we're not giving up anything higher. You've got to stick to your guns eventually. You know, you can't be, you know, just fine. We'll give up a third round pick or whatever if you don't really believe that he is a third round pick of value. And so they believe that they need to keep their picks because of what's going to happen this offseason with the money that's going to be spent on their own. They're not going to have the money to spend in free agency. They really want to utilize their draft picks to kind of turn this roster over and fill some other holes that they need on this team.
Yeah, and I would also add on to the fact, like the Kadarius, the other reasons, like, okay, well, why didn't they do that? Okay, let's think about it. Did Kadarius Toney work out? No. So, okay, why would we learn from our mistakes, right? Yeah. Also, I'd say the need was more dire when they went to go get Kadarius Toney, as far as offense was concerned. Like, they were in a bad spot. This offense isn't in a bad spot because of lack of talent. They've got their own things that they need to work on in-house, film, tells, all that stuff. That's not going to be a new player. And another difference in that Kadarius Toney trade, Kadarius Toney wasn't due for a new contract the next year.
That's Breece exactly
Hall is
right.
going to need to be paid, or you're spending a third round pick for an 8-week rental.
That's
so
right.
Those are the big differences. Again, to Bob's point, you want to agree, disagree, say that doesn't matter. That's all fine. But I would say those are some legit reasons.
Big things. And it matters to the organization, right? It may not matter to us, but it matters to them and the way that they do business and the way that they're setting up their organization for the future is we're planning on paying Rice and planning on paying Trent McDuffie. Why anybody would be against that is beyond me, right? We're paying two of the greatest players that we have right now on our team. Cool. That's awesome. And if it means we can't go out and spend money in free agency, but we have to utilize those picks to kind of turn over the roster next year, you know, that's what we're going to do. And you're making a great point there, Mac. Just because you did something once doesn't mean you do it again, right? It didn't work out. Now, it doesn't mean you stop trying, but there are a lot of stark differences. And this organization just was not going to give up a pick in the top three if they were not guaranteed insurances that Breece Hall was going to be here for a longer period of time. And you're right. This offense is by no means desperate in need. They're putting up 30 a game, you know? They're not in need of offensive help. They had a bad game right before the trade deadline from a running back standpoint, and everybody's freaking out. And remember, Pacheco was hurt.
Pacheco's out.
And he didn't play in that game. If he plays in that game, has a big game, nobody's talking about this type of running back. And if you want Breece Hall that bad, you know what? Maybe you do go sign him in the offseason, or maybe you don't, or maybe you just draft a running back this year. So those are the reasons behind. Again, you don't have to agree with them, but those are the reasons behind why all of this happened and how the trade deadline played out. I'm just giving you the playbook, man. I got the playbook, and I'm giving it to you. This is what went on yesterday.
I do love this text. The third round rotational run stopping DN next year is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
But all right. Yeah.
I mean, I love how people are just so down. It just pisses me off. It really does. I mean, like the snark like that. This organization has given you everything that you could have possibly wanted over the last 8 years, and they're sitting at 5-4 and didn't trade for a running back on the end of an expiring contract, and people think they suck. It's unbelievable. I mean, that's just the mentality of, you know, the fan and whatnot. And so Indianapolis goes all in yesterday and gives up 2 first-round draft picks. I'd rather be where we are right now and have extended success like the Chiefs are doing and giving us an opportunity to win a Super Bowl and be in an AFC championship game every single year rather than be in it and you know, hit it and quit it like the Indianapolis Colts are doing right
Hell
now.
Yeah, you don't get to the 20-year anniversary just hitting it and quitting
it. You don't.
You don't get 3 Super Bowls just hitting and quitting it. Mm. Even though it's nice. But you gotta think about the grand, because like it's funny. I want to read this text. This comes from my buddy Nick yesterday, and I almost threw my phone across my house. Because he was down bad after the Buffalo loss, and I responded with, Jesus, Nick, they lose this game every year, and he just hit a ha-ha. And then he goes, what do you say? He goes, did we stay put on the free agency? I said, it appears so. And then he goes, I can't believe Saucy got 2 first-rounders. I said, yeah, that's just dumb in my opinion. Jets are killing it with a top-5 defense, killing their top-5 defense with a defensive head coach is weird. And then he just sent back about the Jets. What a nightmare franchise.
Well, but that means they don't believe that Sauce Gardner and Quinnen Williams were fits for what they want to do. And I applaud the Jets for getting rid of those guys. If you're a new head coach and you come in and you got players that aren't buying in and you're rolling their eyes at you and you're not moving this thing forward, you're gone. It's the right move to make. And if they viewed those two guys as problems inside that locker room for being able to, and they got 3 first-round picks and a 2nd-round pick. I mean,
have to do it.
You have to make those moves for the betterment of the organization. It's nuts.
Can we all agree we'd have loved to have seen a defensive line help?
Absolutely. Okay. And yeah, that would have been great. No doubt. That would have been outstanding.
I also would have loved to see him, because I remember, Bob, you were kind of laying out their plan, their why about wanting to accrue assets, get picks, because that's going to be the way of adding talent. It's not going to be through big time signings, right?
Was that? I'm glaring at you because the sun is bouncing off and it's right in my eyes. So you're looking at me like, am I saying something wrong? I'm like, because I'm making this face, and it's like, no, this damn sun is like literally like it couldn't be at a better angle. So I'm going to move over here.
No, if they weren't going to buy, then why not sell and try and gain another pick? Because you've got a couple players in certain positional units: Tyquan Thornton, a Christian Fulton. Maybe a McDuffie, probably not, but a Christian Fulton, they could have gotten a third round pick.
No, McDuffie's a franchise guy. They're going to sign Trent McDuffie. They're not looking to move on from great football players, right?
Well, and if you can get 2 first-round picks for him?
I mean, I don't know. He's pretty damn good.
But I would do that in the offseason.
Yeah, not now. Yeah.
That's not a yesterday move. Yeah. But yesterday could have been a Tyquan for a 4th or a 5th or a Christian Fulton for a 5th round, you know, something.
The Christian Fulton one thing is very interesting to me. Like, got to figure out what's going on. You know, because he can't get off the practice squad at this point or whatever it is.
Healthy,
you know?
Scratch.
Yeah, that's right. He's on the roster, but you know what I mean. Like, he might as well be on the practice squad at this point.
All right, Mac. Let's get into your Max Pack, and then we'll get to Bob's bottom feeder, and then around 7:45, we'll get into One Word.
It's time for Max Pack.
Toughest list yet. Usually I'm sitting here, oh, man, I've got 7 or 8 teams. I've got to truncate it down to 5. This one, I had 4 teams, and I was like, where is that 5th?
It's obvious.
Because so much of this list for me, it is and it isn't, because so much of this list for me is about hoisting Lombardi Trophy, and that is based on past precedent, what they've done in the past, how they've gone through trials and tribulations and been able to stand up through adversity. And a lot of these teams that are quote-unquote good right now, sitting atop of their respective divisions or their respective conferences, haven't had any history. They haven't had those trials and tribulations. They haven't fought through the adversity in the playoffs, so it's hard for me to trust them. Let's start at 5, because I think that's probably the most controversial one. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Everyone forgot about them. They had a bye week last week. That's completely fine. They've been extremely injured. Mike Evans is going to be back by playoffs. He'll probably be back before then. Igbuka, Chris Godwin getting healthier. Bucky Irving set to be back here, I believe, this next week. Still a really good team, and they've been to the playoffs 3 years in a row, I believe, maybe even more than that, but they've won playoff games. They've played these good teams in the NFC. I can trust the Bucs more than I can trust maybe a Seattle Seahawks right now.
Because of the longevity of the quarterback?
Yep, because of their, and because that team's been together.
Yeah.
And they've been to the playoffs multiple times. Shoot, they have a few players who have won the Super Bowl on that team. Seattle, I mean, we were just talking about, and I'm a Sam Darnold guy, Sam Darnold truther. We saw what happened at the end of the year when they needed to win. I can't just go off of Sam Darnold and Mike McDonald having a great first 8 or 9 weeks together. I need to see more. 4 is the Chiefs. they should be higher. It's on them. They need to stop making mistakes. They need to get out of their own way. The Buffalo Bills also chose to be a great team that day, and that's why they're going to be popping up later on this Max Pack. Next up, three is the Philadelphia Eagles. I think I've said it for a few weeks now. They're just the most well-rounded team. I don't know if they're the best, but they know how to do a little bit of everything, and they do have that pass precedent. They've done it in the playoffs. They've done it needing to pass for 300 yards. They've needed to run it for 150. So I like their diversity as a team. The Buffalo Bills showed me a different team on last Sunday, and I think part of that, I can't remember who it was. Maybe you guys can remember. Maybe it was Briscoe, just bringing up that they played a lot of their younger players. Maybe it was Danon Hughes.
I think it was Josh, actually.
Was it yeah. Briscoe or Kling?
Kling, I think, yeah.
Well, because they had an older defense.
They just say Josh, it covers just about everybody.
Yeah, exactly, just Josh said it. They played a lot of their younger players, a lot of their guys they drafted this season and last year, and they played really well against what I believe to be an elite offense in Kansas City. That was their biggest question mark. They shore that up, and Josh Allen is as close as it gets to number one without being number 15. And then the Los Angeles Rams, they've got a Super Bowl winning quarterback, Super Bowl winning coach. They've got a great defense that I have been talking about since before the season started. I like this team, man. I know they're in a tough division, but I think they're going to win it. And if they win that division, they more than likely will get that one seed as well. And that's so important for a 40-year-old quarterback with a bad back.
You know, it's funny with the Chiefs, and you put them at number four. I go back to something that Jay Binkley said at 6:45 this morning. He goes, Buffalo had to play their best game to beat the Chiefs, who played one of their worst games.
Yeah, by seven.
I mean, think about that. Right now, we can't continue to say that. Eventually, they have to find a way to win these games.
Yes.
Okay, and that's the second half of the season. We can't continue to sit here and go, oh, the Chiefs played their F game and Buffalo played their A-plus game and won. Stop playing your F game!
Yeah, because at some point, if you keep playing your F game, that is your game. You need to show us your A game.
Right, exactly. They need to play their A game basically the rest of the way. But I can tell you, just by talking to people, you know, throughout the organization over the last couple of days, they're bought into the guys they have. They feel really good about their team. Go out there and make us feel really good about the team. All right, let's look at the bottom feeders right now that we have going on. Coming in at number five are the New York footballless Giants. The new thing is now how quickly Brian Daboll will make an ass of himself on the sidelines, yelling at refs, yelling at players, going into tents, whatever the case may be. It seems like that thing is dissipating very, very fast, and the Giants will probably have to make a move. Number four on my bottom feeder list, I don't know how much longer they're going to stay on this list, the Jets. I mean, based on the haul that they got yesterday, maybe they can turn this thing around really, really fast. But they're still the Jets. They're still one-win football team. They're still a team now that, you know, has the rest of the season to just play out the string and hope Tennessee finds a win so they can get the number one overall pick. So I'll put the Jets at number four. The Dolphins coming in at number three this week. I still think they are a colossal, colossal disaster down in Miami. The last time we saw them was Thursday Night Football. They scored 6 points. And they fired their GM, allegedly, or he quit, however you want to look at it. Head coach, quarterback combination. That thing ain't working down there. Saints come in at number two. They are a very bad football team right now. So they don't have a quarterback. They need to get a quarterback. They traded one of their offensive tackles, Emily Penning's brother, down to the Chargers yesterday. And, you know, he's there now. They don't have much going for them in New Orleans. And then the worst team in the NFL is Tennessee. Ooh. Can I tell you, I'm rooting for Tennessee to get the number one pick in the draft this year.
Oh, okay.
And you know why? Utter chaos at number one. Mm. Trades, moves. What can Tennessee get for that pick?
It's true.
You know, because they don't need a quarterback, right? Unless they do. I don't know. Maybe they're not sold on Cam Ward. Maybe the new, you know, coach comes in or whoever and says, we're not sold on this guy. We do need to go back to the quarterback well and draft another quarterback. But I think it could get wild with trades and everything if Tennessee is holding that number one pick yet again.
Mm.
Anyone left out?
Mm.
Raiders?
Yeah, they looked great last week.
I'd like to see where... Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see where Washington is in your bottom feeders.
It's getting close now.
Head coach leaving their quarterback in to be out for the season.
Yep.
Atlanta Falcons, I don't know what's going on there.
That's depressing.
Weird team.
Very weird team. Talent everywhere, I don't know. I think maybe it's quarterback. Maybe Michael Penix just ain't him, dog. But I don't really have any. I mean, Titans are terrible, obviously.
Browns could have been on there.
Yep.
Tired of putting them on lists, though. You know, like.
They don't even deserve
this
list.
The fact that they floated the story yesterday that they were going to be buyers at the trade deadline.
Jeez.
Who the hell are you? I mean, what are you trying to appease Myles Garrett for 10 minutes?
because according to Score Mobile, the top five worst teams are the Dolphins, Giants, Jets, Saints, Titans. 1, 2, 3.
I got them all.
Hey,
how about that?
And not only that,
Bobby Betts.
Here's the order of them: 32 Titans.
Yeah,
nailed it.
Yeah,
31 Saints.
I got it.
Wow.
30 Jets.
Damn.
29 Giants. Uh-huh. 28 Dolphins.
Okay,
oh, that's fair.
So I mean. Wow, 6 in 1 hand and half a dozen in the other. Pick your worst team.
Right.
Where I want to complain is with Mac's top five. So hear me out. So you said past, present, and have a chance to do it. Where are the New England Patriots? Because I'm pretty sure their head coach has a championship mentality. I'm pretty sure New England has been there before. Foxborough in the postseason is a dangerous place to play. I understand their quarterback is young, but their quarterback has been good. He is top three in MVP voting. He is putting up outstanding numbers, and you're anchored by a guy who knows all about winning in the playoffs, not in the top five. The other one I would ask is Seattle. I understand past president, which have they been there? Have they done it? Sam Darnold. Baker Mayfield, 2-3 in the playoffs. He's beaten the Steelers, and he lost to Washington last year, a rookie quarterback who had never been in the playoffs. And Baker Mayfield lost to that guy last year, and that team went on to the NFC Championship game. So the two things I would gripe about are the Seahawks and the Patriots not being in there.
Yeah, they lost to a team that made the NFC Championship game, to your point.
But they did have a past, present, or existing history, the Washington Commanders.
No, that's fair. That's fair. No, things can change. I'd say for the Patriots, yeah, Vrabel's great. I don't know. The rest of that team is not there yet. They're young. They have not done anything. Drake May, 1-9 in the NFL when he has to throw more than 26 passes in a game. He's also never won a game where the Patriots allowed more than 20 points and he had to lead a fourth quarter game winning drive. You're going to have to do that in the playoffs. Just hasn't happened. It doesn't mean, and listen, I love Drake May. They will be there soon, but this takes time. It's a hard thing.
Just think about Patrick Mahomes' first year, right?
Yep.
Was great in the regular season, really good up until he met, you know, the kryptonite, Tom Brady. And didn't play, had a terrible first half of that game and, you know, took a sack that knocked him out of field goal range. If Patrick Mahomes is in year two, and I know that's technically, but year two as a starter,
yeah.
I guarantee you they beat the New England Patriots in that game because they would have known how to win that game. And that's kind of where I see Drake May. It's great right now.
It's awesome.
But when it comes down to it and it's, you know, a Sunday evening and it's dusk and you're facing the Chiefs or you're facing Buffalo, do you know how to win at that point in time? I don't know I can't say the answer is yes right now with him.
And the Patriots will play at Tampa Bay this Sunday.
Ooh, good game.
There we go. That's a great game.
And the Patriots beat the number two team in your Max Pack on the road in their house.
They did.
Yep.
That's what's fun about the NFL season. You can sit here and do this for the rest of the show.
Especially this one. I mean, this NFL season is nuts, baby.
You want to spend?
Let's get nuts.
You want to spend an afternoon, go just look at the top eight teams in the AFC and find the best one.
And then it's funny.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. P&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Thing is, note 9 below is terrible, right?
It's terrible.
And then explain, you could have a reason why every single team could be the better team in the AFC picture.
Yeah, you could make a case.
You really could. I mean, you can make a case for the Jets doing the right thing. You can make a case for the Jets doing the wrong thing. You can make a case for the Colts doing, like, that's the great thing about sports is you can make arguments and counter-arguments for everything, and when you think about it, yeah, everything kind of works. And you may not like what the end result ends up being, and you may criticize it, but it doesn't mean there wasn't thought that went into that kind of process either.
This comes from Zach on the text line. Mac, tell Dusty this is your list, so not his, so get bent.
Get bent.
No doubt about it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver.
And my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.